This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, Hour 3.
Hello, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number, 877-973-7425. As always, if you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get the show notes. You should subscribe to the show notes. We send them out as the show starts and gives you all the topics that we're talking about on the show. You can get the podcast, the live stream, the social media links to follow me around social media, everything you need. Now, there is a story that has percolated on social media, and I need to talk to you about it. I continue to try to persuade people that we need to do something about TikTok. Your children should not be on TikTok, nor should you. Fortune has this story now about a TikTok data employee. The last name is Turner. Turner, this is a quote from Fortune. Turner says he never met with the Seattle-based manager to whom he was assigned to report. Instead, Turner had weekly check-ins lasting less than 7 minutes with the Beijing-based ByteDance executive. In these meetings, Turner says he merely told the executive how far along he was in completing assigned tasks and nothing else. Nearly every 14 days as part of Turner's job throughout 2022, he emailed spreadsheets filled with data for hundreds of thousands of U.S. users to ByteDance workers in Beijing. The data included names, email addresses, IP addresses, and geographic and demographic information of Twitter, TikTok users. This is a rather alarming story. Evan Turner is the man. He worked at TikTok as a senior data scientist from April to September in 2022. He is a whistleblower. He says TikTok concealed the involvement of its Chinese owner during his employment. Says when he was hired, he reported to this executive in Beijing. The company announced a major initiative to store TikTok's U.S. user data only in the United States. And Turner was thereafter reassigned on paper to an American manager in Seattle. But Turner says a human resources representative revealed during a video conference call he would, in reality, continue working for the same executive in Beijing. The stealth chain of command contradicted what TikTok executives have said about their independence from ByteDance. In fact, Turner says he never met with the Seattle-based manager at all. He sent all the information and spreadsheets to ByteDance in Beijing. The goal was to sift through the information to mine for insights like the geographical regions where users watch the most videos of a particular genre and decide how the company should invest to encourage users to be more active. It all took place after the company had started its initiative to keep sensitive U.S. user data in the U.S. and only available to American workers. This is Turner's direct quote. I literally worked on a project that gave U.S. data to China. They were completely complicit in this. There were Americans that were working in upper management that were completely complicit in this. In other words, TikTok lied. TikTok has said that it changed its operating situation so that U.S. employees or U.S. users' data never went to Beijing. They said they moved their servers to protect U.S. users. In fact, let me read you this paragraph. Again, this is in Fortune magazine. TikTok's project to stop sharing user data with ByteDance was part of an effort to fend off regulators. The initiative, called Project Texas, started in early 2022 after President Trump tried to ban TikTok, citing its national security threat, followed by President Biden banning the service on federal devices and raising concerns about its Beijing-based parent. As part of the $1.5 billion Project Texas, TikTok's U.S. operations moved its U.S. data center to U.S.-based data centers, according to TikTok's Project Texas website. The company also created a new team to manage all business functions requiring sensitive user data, among other security measures. 2 years later, TikTok remains in crosshairs, and now comes the whistleblower, who says, as a data scientist for TikTok, his job was to continue to send the data to TikTok in Beijing, to pull it off the servers and send it to Beijing. TikTok is a national security threat. I find it very notable that we are in a society now where so many people want to be entertained. They don't care about the TikTok threat. They say it doesn't apply to me, so you should let me have the app. Me, 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 me. What about their kids? Let me pull back from this to something else I mentioned earlier. I took my 15-year-old son to the Masters on Friday. It was a rare opportunity. I don't know that I'll be able to go back. So my friends, Rick and Sally, have tickets. Sally's parents had tickets. Our mom has died, but died in the window where tickets could be inherited. The father is still alive, 97, had to actually sign an affidavit to Augusta National this year that he was still alive. So they have these tickets. And so they invited, last year I went with Charlie, and I was so miserable I'd cracked my heel. I didn't know. I was in agonizing pain the whole time. Just walking, it was cold, it was rain, pouring down rain, it was 40 degrees, I was miserable. This year was fantastic. My son was very apprehensive about not being able to have a screen with him. He was convinced he was going to be bored out of his mind. No screens allowed. No phones, no Nintendo Switch, no iPad, no nothing. About an hour and a half in to being inside Augusta National, my son, my 15-year-old son, looks at me and he says, "This is great." He says, "Look at all these people. They're not looking down. They're looking ahead. They're talking to each other." He said, "This is great." So he didn't get bumped into by anybody. You know, one of the funniest things he said to me, or he said to my wife, actually, he got home and my wife asked Gunner how he liked it. And he says, "Mom, nobody talked politics with Dad. It was great." Nobody talked politics with Dad. It was great. But nobody had cell phones. Now, I had my watch with me if something big happened and I needed to step back out and get back on radio. I had my watch. You can't send or receive or accept phone calls. You can't send text messages. But my watch sends me breaking news alerts, and I was afraid there's a breaking news alert after I'd gotten back to Augusta National, need to turn around and go back, be on TV or radio, I'd be able to do it. So I was monitoring that. But actually, the only big alerts I got were the wind was so bad, our security system at home at our front door kept saying somebody was at the front door, and it was actually the trees blowing. But it really stood out to my son that nobody had cell phones and people engaged with each other. People made eye contact with each other. People weren't bumping into each other because they were looking down instead of looking up, and strangers were talking to strangers and everybody was having a good time. It made a visible, noticeable impact on him. TikTok, whether it's a Chinese spy app or not, and it is designed to take you out of the real world and addict you to your phone. Instagram kind of does the same thing, to be honest with you. I sat in my, got home Friday night. I was exhausted. My feet were sore from walking around Augusta National. Sat in my hot tub. I'm on a group chat on Instagram with a couple of buddies. We send each other memes that would cancel all of us, just some of the funniest stuff. But I sat in my hot tub and I was like, guys, I apologize. I'm sitting in the hot tub. It's 11 o'clock at night. I got a cigar and a glass of bourbon. Here come the memes. They were fantastic. But you sit there and you stare at your phone. You're not talking to other people. That's the problem with so much technology. Now, it's like the headsets. Like, I've got the Apple Vision Pro. Y'all, I used the Apple Vision Pro to watch the Masters on Saturday. I could watch four different screens at one time, show the leaderboard, and I could pull up any player's shots, and it pulled up the hole they were on, showed you the shots. You could spin the whole hole around. You could zoom into the fairway. You could zoom into the green. You could see the angles, the hills, the bunkers, everything. It was really impressive technology. The Masters went above and beyond, a gold standard app for Apple's Apple Vision Pro. And the Apple Vision Pro, like the Oculus from Facebook, are cool devices, but they're designed to take you out of the real world. TikTok is designed to take you out of the real world. But what makes TikTok more nefarious than Instagram or one of these headsets or Snapchat or anything else is that not only is TikTok designed to take you out of your world and pull you into another highly addictive world where you break down community and you dwell online, TikTok is also designed to spy on you and your children and those around you. There are credible claims that unlike many social media apps, TikTok actually is pulling from microphones and listening to you. We know TikTok has been used to spy on Americans, in particular American journalists. And now it becomes increasingly clear, abundant, and apparent that TikTok has been lying. They moved American data to the United States, but then had people in their headquarters in Seattle sending that data to Beijing still. TikTok, Delinda Est. It's a spy app. It's designed to weaponize our information for the benefit of China. And you can say you have nothing to hide. You just want to be entertained. But the problem is we can't just give you TikTok. We give it to your kids. And they're indoctrinating your kids. They're trying to convince your child that your child is transgender. They're trying to convince your child to hate Israel with the algorithm, the data that they show your kid. It really is remarkable. If you go out and you pay cash and you get a phone and you set it up with a brand new email address so that it in no way can be tied to you. You don't put it on your Wi-Fi network. You pay cash so it can't be tied to your credit card. You set up a brand new account. You use a brand new email. You make sure it's never tied to your Wi-Fi. It's not in your general location. You'd be amazed at the algorithm and what TikTok chooses to show you instead of your stuff. It is a weaponized app by China, and its executives have been lying to us. It's using your information to possibly one day blackmail you or find out your kids are looking at something and your kid one day gets into the army and you're so proud of your kid. And China says, hey, we know what this kid was looking at online. We followed him from TikTok to the internet. We know he can be blackmailed. It's a dangerous app. You know, the American apps, they're spying on you too, but they're spying on you to make money off of you. The difference between TikTok and these other apps is these other apps are monetizing what you're doing online. TikTok is weaponizing what you do online to benefit our enemy, the Chinese, and you all should be mindful of what's going on here. TikTok needs to be banned if TikTok is not going to be sold. The Chinese are too dangerous for us to allow them to have predatory access to our kids through their cell phones.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, let me go to Pierce. You're going to be up next. Welcome to the show, Pierce. How are you?
Hey, good. I'm doing good, Eric, and I'm jealous that you went to the Masters and I didn't. But anyway, I've been thinking about this over the weekend, and I think that Netanyahu really ought to come out with his war council behind him at a press conference and let the world know that our best way to retaliate against Iran is to restrain ourselves. But let it be known to our adversaries, anyone from this day forward who provokes us and attacks us, Israel will retaliate against you 100 times over. No, and I want to thank the allies who helped, including Syria, who helped shoot down the missiles and drones. Thanking them.
No, okay, you just clarify. It wasn't Syria. It was Jordan.
Jordan, I'm sorry, Jordan. Right, but I think he should thank them and then come out with a very stern message that we're not retaliating this time. But let it be known, our adversaries, anyone who provokes us by attacking us, we will put our fist down hard and fast.
We got to do something. You know, so Pierce, here's the problem. Not that I went to the Masters and you didn't, although it was nice.
Friday was a tough day on them guys.
Yeah, gosh. It's amazing how few finished under par. The wind was incredible, up to 50-mile-an-hour gusts. Problem with this is it's not a bad idea, but, I mean, nobody believes Biden at this point. And the only people that Biden seems to be willing to punish are our allies, already telling sure. Israel, we're not going to help you if you do something. We don't want you to do anything. In fact, here's the headline of the Politico, U.S. to Israel, don't do something you'll regret. In private calls and public moves, President Biden's aides are pointing to reasons to look for an off-ramp from this. Nobody takes the Biden administration seriously anymore. Nobody takes them. I mean, he told the Houthis, you stop it. And what did they do? They escalated. He told the Iranians, don't do this. What did they do? They did it. He told Vladimir Putin, don't you go into Ukraine. What did he do? He went into Ukraine. Nobody believes Joe Biden. He's an incoherent, dementia-addled old man. It's remarkable. That the only people who get punished by Joe Biden are our purported allies. No way to have meaningful alliances. And yet here we are. Publicly they're releasing these statements saying we stand by Israel. And privately they're telling Netanyahu, you better not do anything. Just pitiful. Y'all, I've told you about how I love Old Glory Bank, the pro-America online bank. You're never going to get canceled. Your bank account's not if you're a law-abiding citizen. They don't care what your political and religious beliefs are. Old Glory Bank is real. It's an FDIC-insured bank with customers in all 50 states now. Now this remarkable bank is doing something even more remarkable. They're offering freedom-loving Americans a chance to own a part of this history-making bank. The kind of investment opportunity typically reserved for venture capitalists and Wall Street types, Old Glory Bank does things differently. That's how they grew 700% in their first year. Since buying a community bank in Oklahoma and making it national, they're not looking to Wall Street. They're looking to Main Street. It's a public-private placement in how they can maintain their independence from cancel culture that's infected America's financial institutions by opening up ownership to Americans who share their values. For details on Old Glory Bank's unique public-private placement opportunity, go to own.oldglorybank.com. That's own.oldglorybank.com. Owners must be accredited investors. Ownership interest is not a deposit. Old Glory Bank is not FDIC insured, is not guaranteed, may lose value. Own.oldglorybank.com.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China. And full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I've got a very special guest right now, and that would be the Consul General of Israel to the Southeast United States, headquartered in Atlanta, Anat Sultan Dadon. I hope I have not mispronounced your name. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Glad to be with you again.
Okay, so Consul General, the reaction in American press after this attack on Israel by Iran, with over 300 missiles, 100 drones, 100 cruise missiles, 100 surface air, just a massive volume, was that, well, Iran really didn't mean this. This was just for show. And I am curious as to how Israel views what happened.
This was an unprecedented direct Iranian attack on Israel. For so many years, Iran has been hiding behind its terror proxies, including Hamas, and we saw the result of that in the October 7th massacre, which Hamas could not have attacked Israel on October 7th without the funding, the guidance, the support, the equipment that it receives from Iran. But we now see Iran on the front stage, directly attacking Israel. They have been threatening, they are acting on it, and Israel must and will respond, because like any sovereign country, Israel cannot accept threats to our existence, threats to our people, and we have to ensure that Iran and any of its terror proxy organizations will not pose a threat to our country and to our people.
Now, the attack came not just from Iran proper, but also from its proxies in Iraq, and you have Hezbollah participating, Syria,
that's
Yemen,
right.
The Houthi. And yet I have to remark, as I've mentioned to you before, having grown up in the 80s in the United Arab Emirates, where phone calls to Israel would not work. Israel, any reference was torn out of our textbooks and redacted. And yet we're in this remarkable time where the Saudi Arabians, the Jordanians all helped the U.S., France, the U.K. and Israel in coordination to repel this attack. It seems to be a remarkable statement on Iran's isolation of the Middle East and not Israel's.
It was indeed remarkable, to see the international coalition spearheaded by the United States respond, stand by Israel, and act in defense of Israel. And, of course, the Israeli air defense system and the Israeli Air Force, together we achieved what is truly phenomenal, and that is a 99% interception of these missiles, drones, and rockets that were launched at Israel. We did not do this alone, and we should not do this alone, because the fight against this radical Islamist ideology, this terror state that is Iran, that is not just Israel's fight. And we are grateful to the United States and to the international coalition for standing with us in the face of this threat.
What we hear in parts of the American media and also from Iran is that Israel provoked this by attacking an embassy or consulate building in Syria. But my understanding is that this was actually an Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps headquarters, which is a terrorist organization, and a Quds Force leader was there who helped participate in the facilitation of the October 7th attack.
The targeted individuals, terrorists from a recognized terror organization, should have no safety and no place of harbor anywhere. And that is true for Iranians, for Iranian terrorists. It is true for Iranian proxy terror organizations, and it is true for terrorists in general. They should have no place of refuge anywhere in the world.
Now, as far as an Israeli response, I mean, what should those of us in the United States be looking for as Israel gauges how to respond?
Israel is now holding talks not only within Israel, but of course also with our closest ally, the United States. Ultimately, we will have to respond in the way that we think is the best measure to take in order to ensure our safety, the safety of our country and people, and our deterrence.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the Consul General of Israel, headquartered in Atlanta, representing the Southeast United States. Consul General, I want to step back at larger picture here, because around the world, we are a troubling, bothering trend of anti-Semitism growing that I think so much of the world thought after World War II was set aside, and yet around the world, in this country, you have Palestinian activists blocking access to the Chicago O'Hare Airport today. You have college campuses. I mean, how do you, as someone from Israel, see what's happening in this country and around the world, all of a sudden this provocation after October 7th?
We are observing with incredible concern, not only Israel, and not only the Jewish communities here. I think that here in the United States, every American should be concerned, because the support that we are seeing in these demonstrations for Hamas, for a designated terror organization that has carried out the largest massacre of Jews in a single day since the Holocaust, we are seeing demonstrations of support for this genocidal terror organization, an organization that has no political goal. Its sole goal is a genocidal one, the destruction of the state of Israel and of the Jewish people. For that to be tolerated and accepted, I think should be of incredible concern to everyone in the free world, because what they stand for, the glorification of death, their dedication and devotion to destruction, they stand in stark opposition to all of the values that we stand for in the free world. While we stand for humanity, for life, for freedom, they stand for death and destruction, and I think that we should be standing together. And anyone who sees themselves as pro-Palestinian, they should be standing with us in our fight to free Gaza from Hamas, because the Palestinian people deserve better than to live under an oppressive terror regime that is not only dedicating itself to the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people, it is doing so while intentionally using its own people as human shields, intentionally investing in the destruction of Israel rather than in a future for their own people.
Now, in so doing, there's the outstanding issue of Israel moving further into southern Gaza. The United States has been somewhat concerned about this, wanting to build the pier for relief, trying to dissuade too much of an aggressive attack, I guess, by Israel into Rafah and parts south. How is Israel proceeding to navigate both the diplomatic issue here, but also trying to root out Hamas in southern Gaza?
The goals of this war are very clear, and I think in terms of the goals of this war, there is no daylight between Israel and the United States. That is the destruction of Hamas's military capabilities, ensuring that Israel never sees such a terror threat emanating from the Gaza Strip ever again, and seeing the release of all of the hostages. They are still holding on to 133 hostages for 192 days now. With regards to Rafah, it is the last stronghold of Hamas. We cannot effectively eliminate Hamas's military capabilities without going into Rafah and addressing the four Hamas battalions that are still there. And that is why, in the very complex battlefield that Hamas has intentionally created, embedding itself within the civilian population, within civilian infrastructures, we need to operate in that battlefield, because otherwise it will not only allow for Hamas to regroup, rebuild, and rearm and continue posing a threat to Israel. And they, their leaders proudly declare again and again that they will commit October 7th over and over and over. But what kind of message will that send to terror organizations and terrorists around the world that if they embed themselves within civilian population, that is how they will find safety? That cannot be a message to terror anywhere, and it certainly cannot be the message to a terror organization on our border that not only has committed unimaginable atrocities and crimes against humanity, continues to do so while holding our hostages, and continues to be committed to our destruction. We cannot allow for them to pose a threat to our country and to our people. No country would allow that.
Now, I know you've had a lot of meetings, and we've rearranged being able to get you here. First of all, thank you for taking the time to do this. But lastly, is there anything I haven't asked you that you think the American people need to know about this situation?
I think the most important thing that I've touched on that we all should realize is while we are fighting this war on the ground, this is not just Israel's fight. I think that is why we saw this coalition, international coalition, fighting alongside us in the face of this attack by Iran. And that is why we need to see the international community address what is a threat to all of us. The UAVs that were launched at Israel in this attack from Iran, those same Iranian UAVs are being used to attack Ukrainian citizens. The malign activities of Iran extend far beyond Israel, far beyond our region. They are a threat to the entire free world, and that is why it is essential that they be addressed by the international community.
That's so well said, and it's such a great point about Ukraine as well. Council General, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to the audience about what's going on in Israel, and just a remarkable, remarkable countermeasures to be able to take out 99% of what was fired, given the volume of what was fired. Just remarkable.
Indeed, indeed. Thus sparing so many Israeli lives. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's always good to hear you. Council General Anat Sultan Dadon is the Council General of Israel in Atlanta, representing the Southeast United States. She's actually remarkably well-traveled representing Israel around the world in Cameroon, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Australia, headquartered right now in Atlanta. Reached out yesterday, said she's happy to come on to talk and was just delighted to be able to get her on. So thank you for that. And again, Iran threw, hang on a second. Let me get you the precise, the precise numbers here, because you really, to put this in perspective, you need to understand it was 186 explosive slow moving drones that when they arrived at Israel were timed to arrive at the same time as 36 cruise missiles and 110 surface-to-surface missiles, the Iranian strategy being to overwhelm the Iron Dome system in Israel that the missiles could get through while the batteries were taking out the drones. And it wasn't successful, 99% taken out in a combined international effort, the French, the British, the Americans, the Israelis, the Jordanians, and for first time, Saudi Arabians directly coordinating with Israel militarily, first time that's ever happened in history. Just a remarkable, remarkable circumstance there. That doesn't mean Iran was doing it for show. They meant to kill, and they were repelled successfully. Now, I got to move on and tell you about Stamps.com is back this week, and I'm delighted to have them. If you go to Stamps.com and you click on the microphone and you put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, you can get a fantastic offer from Stamps.com. Now, what is that offer from Stamps.com? You get free postage. You get a free digital scale, and you get great up to 89% off shipping rates from the UPS and post office. And you don't have to stand in line. You can arrange pickup at your home or office. In fact, I'm doing that this afternoon because I got some gifts for folks for the Masters, and I got to ship them out. So I've already got my labels printed from stamps.com. I used the digital scale. I bought it. I didn't get it for free. I didn't take advantage of the offer, but I can do it all. And they're going to pick it up this afternoon if they haven't already. I never have to stand in line, and you don't either. You get up to 89% off shipping rates, and you save. Post office, UPS, you can find the fastest option, the cheapest option, and you get the free digital scale and some free postage. All you do is go to stamps.com. You click on the microphone and you put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, and you will take advantage of this great offer from stamps.com. Great for your home or your office. If you ship a lot, it saves you a lot of hassle, including standing in line.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number 877-973-7425. But it's actually too late to be on the program. So tomorrow I'm going to be at WOKV in Jacksonville doing the show from there. Have an event with WOKV listeners Tuesday night. Details are on their website. On Thursday, I'll be at WDBO in Orlando, Florida. Details there as well. They've got it on the WDBO app. You can find out all the information. You can come hang out with me if you're in Jacksonville. Or if you're in Orlando, it should be a good time. Both locations, great venues. We're going to start going and doing our station tours this year, starting there. Austin, we'll get to you at some point because, my goodness, do I love Austin. But I got to get to Greenville because, one, I got a ton of friends in Greenville who are all listening. And they all have my cell. I forgot how many friends I had in Greenville who have my cell phone until they listen and they text me during the show. So we got to get there. In any event, it'll be fun. Right now, though. I want to revisit this conversation about Augusta National and the Masters in the flow and the process of it, and I'll be done with it. I know some of you don't care about golf, but here's my concern. This isn't really about them, about this other thing. So I noticed this trend among some sports commentators now, who everything is about the odds. And the odds of winning. Now, it was the odds were that Scottie Scheffler was going to win the Masters. But I saw more than one prognosticator doing everything possible to convince people that there was no way Scheffler could win it. And it was all tied to bets and betting. Just as I am very concerned about so much of the news you hear today is tinged with partisan angles, I'm a little bit concerned that a lot of the coverage we get on sports these days has a betting angle to it. And listen, I'm not opposed to sports betting, and I say that I've got some friends of mine, one in particular I'm thinking of right now, who gets very defensive about this because he makes his living doing it. He's very good at it. But I'm really concerned about the coverage so many people offer up about sporting events, including the Masters. And it was just very notable to me. It was very obvious that Scottie Scheffler was moving into the lead and staying in the lead, and the number of people talking down his play, and if you're not watching it, he sucks. I'm like, dude is like 10 under par at this moment, on the verge of 11 under par, and just bashing the guy. It's really, really upsetting to me to see people clearly being taken advantage of, particularly young men. I got no objection to you placing bets on sports. Most of my friends do. In fact, had friends yesterday who were betting on the Masters and who was going to win before it was over. By then, it's pretty clear Scheffler was going to win. They were fighting over second place. Was it going to be Colin Morikawa or was it going to be Olberg or someone? But I'm a little bit apprehensive these days seeing this trend of commentators in sports tying everything to betting and odds as opposed to just commentary. And we're in brave new world here, and I think it's going to end badly, particularly for a lot of college-age men in the next 10 years.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say.
Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.